Page number 91.
Thank you.
singing tonight, sister?
Well, I think I am, if I can find something real quick.
Okay.
The saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. They say there's mansions there inside that city. A crystal river flowing by the tree of life. No pain or disappointments there will hurt us. And Jesus Christ himself will be the light. And that sounds like home to me. Like where I want to be, there'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me, and that sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears to fill our eyes again. The hills will echo with the story as we sing of his grace and glory, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me. Where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
Long time since I heard that song, and it's a blessing. You know, the thing, I don't know, I guess I look at things a little differently than some people. The songs that we're all used to, I believe, like the old preachers used to say, had the touch of God on them. But I don't know, I've never heard anybody say that contemporary music had the touch of God on them. Never have heard that. But boy, I'll tell you, some of these old songs, God was on those men and women when they wrote those, and just touch heaven. And I thank God for that music. That's what ministers to our hearts and souls, I believe. All right, while you're turning to Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. Sunday evening, we talked about our Bible school. We're going to call it Kids Bible Blast. We talked about a time. We talked about either 10 or 11. So I think the easiest thing to do is just cut it right down the middle. Let's do 10:30. I think that's the easiest. And then we also had some folks that were supposed to be checking to see which is best. Has anybody found out any more than what we talked about Sunday? From things that I've heard, more people lean toward maybe trying to have it on the 27th. So we've got more time to devote to it. So if you have a major problem with that, talk to me later. But if not, let's go ahead and tentatively just say the 27th and see what happens. And that'll give people time to work more towards that. Because like I say, it's right on top of us before we know it. So let's keep that in mind. Also, if you'd like to see, when we were in Pennsylvania doing Bible school, they printed up some beautiful little old flyers. If you want to look at it, this is sort of like what I want. Whoever's going to wants to fix up the flyers, if you want to see me, I think this is kind of a neat format to follow. It's very bright, very colorful. So just look at it, and then we'll fix something up. And they have basically the four things that we talked about: the Bible time, arts and crafts, playtime. What am I missing?
Food.
Yeah, can't miss food. All right, that's wrong. That's wrong. You know, miss food. All right, so we'll work at all that work together. So let's be in prayer, as Brother Buddy said, that we need to pray that God will bless, and we just bathe it in prayer. Bathe it in prayer. Pray we can reach some families for the Lord. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Last week we went to chapter 15 of Proverbs. We will not go back there tonight. But last week we looked at Proverbs 15, verses 19 through 21, and we saw some triplets that were talked about by Solomon in that chapter. Those were folly, foolishness, and slothfulness. And then we talked about that, and then we find in chapter 10 the very same trio. And we talked about the first one last week. We talked about folly. Folly is found in verses 1 and really verses 5 and 6. And here's what we said folly was. Folly is dealing with how a person feels. A person who is emotionally motivated. It is dangerous to be emotionally motivated because you will inevitably make wrong decisions. It has been said, and rightly so, that a person should never discuss things. A person should never make rash decisions at the end of a day, because at the end of the day you're tired, you're exhausted, you're stressed, and everything seems to take on a position of gloom and doom in the evenings. Then for some reason you wake up in the morning and things look better for whatever reason. Well, it's probably because you got a little rest. Your mind, your body, your emotions got some rest. So we should not govern our lives by emotions or by folly, because folly means that basically you're going to do what you do by a whim. Okay, that's why a lot of people suggest in financial management, they suggest that people do not carry a lot of money with them. Because if you take your whole paycheck and cash your paycheck and stick it in your wallet and you see something, the idea is, I got money. Now, later, there's a little problem called bills. But at the time, you don't think about it. So there's a whim. And so we have to be careful. So emotions carry us in directions you shouldn't go. Now, what do we say about folly? Folly is watch how you feel. Watch how you feel. We saw in verse 1 that that a person who is motivated by folly has the desire for wrong admiration. They want the wrong people to respect them. Okay, that you have to be careful of because that's a motivating factor. Then the desire for wrong acceptance. Okay, once you get admired, then you say, well, I think I want to get in hanging out with this crowd. So you start kind of pushing up to them and inching up to them, and before you know it, you want them to not only admire you, they want you to accept you, and then gangs and things like that are indications and signs how people get messed up. Now, second thing, and this covers the majority of the chapter, we will not get it done tonight, but that's all right. Foolishness. Foolishness. Probably 80% of this chapter deals with foolishness. Now, what do we say about folly? Folly is watch how you feel. Foolishness is watch what you are. Okay? Folly is watch how you feel. Foolishness is watch what you are. And there's seven things in this chapter, and I doubt we'll get all seven of them done tonight. But let's talk about a fool. Now, number one, the Bible talks about what a fool is. We are told in the Sermon on the Mount to not call anybody a fool, because in so calling someone a fool, we are actually pronouncing judgment on somebody. And God alone has the right to call somebody a fool. Now, if God calls somebody a fool, then we can call them one too if God has called them that. A fool, for instance, is one that the Bible says a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Well, an atheist then is a fool. And we can call them that because God's Word calls it that. Well, here the Bible talks about seven things that characterize the life of a fool. Okay? So let's look at one folly deals with the emotions, how one feels, but a fool is somebody that you can see a fool. And he gives us ideas or marks or signs to spot a fool. All right, let's look at verse number 2, chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. All through the Bible, you remember that the right hand always speaks of authority. It speaks of the things of God. You remember that the Bible talks about that one day there will be a judgment of the nations. The nations are going to be on, those that love God will be on the right hand, and the foolish nations will be on the what? Left hand. Okay. Where does Jesus sit right now? At the right hand of the Father. The right hand always represents the right thing. But the left hand in the Bible represents, among other things, foolishness. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. And it tells us this. This tells us this principle, that the foundation of a foolish man's life is that of irresponsibility. The right hand represents responsibility. The right hand represents the things of God, that a person wants to do the things that are right, the things that are godly, the things that are that have principles and value to them. Okay? A foolish person, his foundation, the foundation of his life is irresponsibility. Well, we're living in a generation of foolish people. You know why? Because people, more so, I'm going to have to say this because I have to look at my life. Almost 52 years on this earth, and what I've seen has amazed me, because on this right now I see people who are so irresponsible. Okay, we have young couples. We have people like Julius and Pam. We've got Bethany and Jason getting married, and from what I've seen, you know, these young people are making some good decisions, and they need to. But I know some young couples. They go to these rental places, for instance, and they'll pay twice what anything is worth because they want to get it, rent it, and they want to get everything right now. They'll buy a house they can't afford, and they'll get all kind of furniture that they don't need, much less afford, and they'll do all of this, and they've got thousands of dollars of indebtedness, and they're not even out of their 20s. Now, I would submit to you that's irresponsibility. Because when we started out, I tell you, we didn't go to rental places. We didn't go and set up payments. We went to yard sales and house sales where people were selling out their furniture. And that's where we bought our first, I mean, our first home was full of stuff that was, I don't like to use the word secondhand, but I'll have to use that word secondhand. It was good stuff, but I mean, we didn't go out and spend $1,000 for a sofa. Okay? I mean, we just, and there was a point in our lives where the Lord had blessed us where almost everything in our home at one point in time, God had given to us. And that was just a blessing. Now, as you go on and you get older and become more responsible, then you can start adding things. Then you can start doing those things, okay? But it's irresponsibility. It's the mark of a foolish person to go out and to do things just because they want to do it and they are not responsible for it. They should be. We should all be responsible for our actions. But isn't it sad that we know people, and you know people like I know people, that are in their 50s and 60s and 70s, and they are irresponsible people? Now, if you start off and you're frugal and you use wisdom and you understand that you're working for certain things, that's great. But when you get somebody 50 and 60 and 70 and they haven't learned that lesson yet, that's scary. By the time you're 50 or 60 or 70, you ought to have something. It may not be a whole lot, but you ought to have some things that you can say, okay, I think I use some wisdom here, okay? Now, a foolish person is irresponsible. A foolish person will not have anything to show for their lives because they have acted foolishly. And we see the foolishness in that person. So their foundation is irresponsibility. There is no root. Remember that verse in Ephesians that says that there are those who are carried away with every wind of doctrine? And people who are foolish people, their lives, their souls, their spirits, everything about them is carried away because they're not responsible and they are foolish. And for whatever reason, whyever they're that way, okay, they look back and they've wasted their lives. Just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now I'm at that age where I should be having a midlife crisis. Now I see some of these men that have midlife crisis and they amaze me. 50, 55, 60 year olds, they go into debt for a sports car. Red, put the hood down, I mean the top down, you know. He's got three hairs, and all three of them blow in the wind. He wears a muscle shirt, even though he has no muscles to show off. He wears long necklaces. He wears maybe tight jeans that, you know, cut off the circulation. And he wants to date someone old enough to be his granddaughter. That's a mess. They do it. They don't have the sense to know that granddaughter age is only in that car because it's pretty and red. And thinks there's some money there. And when she finds out there is no money, bye-bye, Pop. Okay? All right? And here's a man that is so irresponsible that he thinks he's going to go back and get his childhood and his youth back. And the poor fella has a terrible disease we call the furniture disease. Maybe he was a football player and he had a big chest. But when you get older, your chest drops into your drawers. So he had a furniture disease. Bad situation for him because now he's got that right there when it used to be up here, and he thinks, now I got to get back to that. I've got to, but it's no going back. No, that's a foolish man. Okay? His foundation is irresponsibility. He has no roots. He is carried away, and it's a sad thing. Foolish. In verse number 3, yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Does he go around and say, I'm a fool? Hey, me right here, fool, fool number one, big fool. No, that's not what he's saying. You ever heard the saying, be careful? Let's see. Oh, I was thinking of, I always have trouble with this quote. Be careful, how does it go? Be careful. Be careful if you are a fool. Oh, be careful if somebody considers or thinks you to be a fool, and then you open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's what this man's doing. He's not going around saying, hey, I'm a fool. No, he's saying it by his actions. Okay. And people look and they say, man, that is one foolish person. Okay? It says, yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, it's his walk. It doesn't mean that we have a distinctive walk. That's not what he's talking about. It's not like John Wayne. John Wayne always had the most distinctive walk of anybody in the, probably on the face of this earth. You would think that John Wayne got in fights because of the way he walked. But you didn't mess with the Duke. Okay? But he did have a distinctive walk, and nobody emulated that walk because it was his. People, that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about when you live day by day by day by day and you walk among people and you are with people, people watch and people see and people observe and people say, isn't old so-and-so one of the biggest knotheads you ever saw in your life? Did anybody say anything? No, they didn't necessarily say anything, but their life spoke volumes. And that's what he's saying. He says his nature is transparent. Okay? Verse 3 says his nature is transparent. You can see a fool crystal clear. Do you ever know, have you ever been in a store? I know you have. And you see somebody and they just look like, man. And then you wait and you hear him talk. And what came out of the mouth is reflected by the way they look. You say you're being judgmental. No, that's not what that... That says his nature's transparent. You can see it. Okay? Now, there are some people that are like Albert Einstein, for instance. Now, you look at... If you didn't know who Albert Einstein was, if you look at a picture of Albert Einstein looked like a nut. That man had disheveled hair. I don't know if he knew what a comb was. He had a walrus mustache. He wore tennis shoes and old pullover, sweatshirts. And you'd think, and if you saw Einstein, you'd think, man, that fella is a loony bin. But no, not many people on this earth was as brilliant as that man was. Well, we call that an eccentricity. He was eccentric. But there are some people that you just watch their appearance. You may see a person who is a doctor or a lawyer, and you see them, and they're dressing casually, but they're not slobs. Does that make any sense? I mean, you can just tell that's an educated person or whatever. And I'm just saying, again, what you're looking at a person, what you see is what you get. Okay? And the reflection is there, and a fool is a person whose nature, what's in his heart, is transparent and you see it. And it cannot be denied. It cannot be denied. It's not like you're judging somebody. It's not a question of judgment. It's a question of evidence that is just like, whoa. You don't, there are some people and you just look and you go, whoa. And that's as far as you get. You don't have to think about anything. It's like, Okay? And the foolish person is a person whose nature is transparent. You see right through the situation, right through the person. That's not a question of judgment. It's a question of plain observation. Now look at verse 4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Let's look at a third mark of a foolish person. We said that his foundation is irresponsibility. His nature is transparent. His convictions are shallow. Now let's say that for some obscure reason, you got a phone call from Mr. Obama. Okay. your idea might be to hang up. But I'd like, and I guess some people might say, I had the privilege of hanging up on the president. I don't know. I think I would be curious to know why he called me. So let's say that we're talking, and let's say that Mr. Obama says, I need your vote on a certain issue. I'm trying to get some legislation passed on gay marriage. And I'm really trying to get this thing passed through, and so I want to know if I can count on you to help me push this legislation through, and what can I do for you to get it done? If a man or woman has biblical convictions, then what you would have to say is, Mr. President, I appreciate the fact that you have thought enough to call me, but my convictions are biblical and therefore I cannot support gay marriage. That's a person who has roots in their convictions. But a foolish person, look at the verse again. If the spirit of the ruler, let's say the president of the United States, rise up against thee, defy what you believe in. He says, leave not thy place. Do not leave your position. Do not leave your conviction. Do not leave what you believe in firmly and solidly. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. All right? If you were to say, Okay, what are you willing to do for me, sir? What if I gave you this support, what do I get out of this deal? All right? And he said, we can do this, 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 and this. And then you say, okay, all right, I think I'll go. I think if you're willing to give me what I'm asking for, I will turn a deaf ear toward this position of gay marriage. You know what you've done? If you do that, according to that, you have bypassed offenses. But if you say to the president, no, I can't do this, you know what you're doing? You've got trouble on your hands. Do you remember, have you studied in history what happened when the emperor of Rome and others stood up against Christianity and those Christians decided they were going to live for God? What happened to them? They went into an arena and they were put to death. Do we remember the story in the book of Daniel? And the king looked and said, how many do we throw in there? Well, three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, there's a fourth one in there. And that's the Son of God. All right? But what if those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had not? What if they had just bowed down and said, yeah, we'll do it, sure. No big deal. Lord knows. Lord knows I'm in a predicament and it's okay. And they bowed. Then everything would have been, but when they would not bow, let's go to the furnace. It's not easy. It's not easy. In Christianized America, we don't take stands. We don't. We wimp out because we've never had to really do it. Persecution really came on the church like I think it's going to. I don't know how many people's going to stand. Because we're just used to everything kind of going on our own thing, you know. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. Now let's look at one more thing and we'll be done tonight. We'll try to finish it up next week. Verses 8 through 10, let's move down there. Verses 8 through 10. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, the things I've talked about before, the foundation of irresponsibility, the nature of being transparent, the convictions of being shallow, you say, well, I don't know how many people I know, preacher, that fall into that category, but I got one right now everybody falls into. And in verses 8 through 10, it's talking about a person. A foolish person is someone whose will is unbroken. Several years ago, a young preacher that I taught at GBI, I preached in his church, and I try not to stick my nose in other people's business because I know some preachers that go a little too far, and if you stick your nose too far, you're going to get your nose bent out of shape. But we went to a restaurant, it was a Greek restaurant down in Burlington, North Carolina, and they had a little boy, and that little boy was running all over that restaurant. And at one point in time, Daddy told him to sit down, and he defied his daddy. And I was sitting there, my wife was sitting there, and it was like, you know, he decided to go get the pastor, this young preacher, decided to go to the restroom, and I said, well, I'm going to follow him. And I'm going to talk to him about this, because it was just that difficult situation. And I went in there, and I said as nicely as I could to him, I said, you don't get a hold of that boy soon. I said, he's going to get a hold of you. And I said, I'm sticking my nose where it doesn't belong, and I know that, but I said, somebody needs to tell you something. And I said, that boy don't need to be running around in this place and acting like that, and he should not be defying you and your wife. And I said, what I suggest you do is you take him out somewhere and you lay something on that behind. Well, we went out. He took it. Young preacher, he took it very well. And like I said, that's just not me. I don't do that kind of thing. But this was just, I just felt like it was that serious. And so that boy showed out again. This time he got up, took him to the bathroom, took care of business. That little boy was different when he brought him back. An unbroken will is a dangerous thing. Now, what does it mean? Look at the different scenarios in those verses quickly, and you'll see what I mean by an unbroken will. He that diggeth the pit shall fall into it. What if somebody tells you to not dig the pit? Guess what? That very pit that you dug, you could fall in it. Whoso breaketh a hedge, you decide, I'm going to go through this hedge. Somebody says, well, you don't know what's on the other side of the hedge. You don't need to go through the hedge, but I'm going. And you get on the other side, and what does it say? A snake bites him. See, in his sense, and if he listened to somebody, he'd have understood. Somebody said, you don't know what's on that other side. Something could get you, and then a snake gets him. All right, look at the next one. Verse 9, whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. Is there a reason? Is there a possibility that stones might be present? Are they there for a reason? Did somebody come along and put them there for a reason? Be careful that you're just not going to move stones for the heck of it, because you might drop some, you might break a foot or a toe. There's a reason that such things are there. He that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. You get wood, you're picking up wood. And is there anything under that wood? Is there a reason the pile is there? Be careful, beware. Sometimes we do things, just do them, and we're not cautious. Okay? And then it says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more to the strength. Somebody says, why don't you take that knife, why don't you take that axe, it's so dull, and go sharpen it. And the guy says, no, I'll do it just like it is. And isn't it a miracle, and isn't it amazing that there are people that no matter what you say, if you say purple, they're going to say orange. Always. They're going to go right against you. Okay? Why? Because they don't know. They have never had that will broken. And they hate somebody telling them what to do. And each one of those illustrations are talking about somebody that does not want to do what they're suggested to be done. And they do what they want to do, there's trouble, because it says this. It says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. You need wisdom to live right, to walk right, to talk right, to make right decisions. But he said right there, he said, if that iron's blunt, if here you are and you're going to take that axe and you're going to try to chop that tree down, but it's not sharp, you're putting more strength into it, and that means, you know what? you are putting yourself through some hardships and trials. Wouldn't it be easier to just sharpen the blade? It would be. But why will somebody not sharpen the blade? Because somebody told them they should. Are you hearing me? And there are some people that they're going to go the direct opposite of what you tell them to do because nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh yeah, somebody will. Boss will. Somebody pays your salary will. The law will. Police will. People you owe money to will. Some say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. Nobody's going to make me do anything else. Oh yeah, you better watch that one. Because each one of those illustrations tells that if there's a will that's unbroken, you can have every one of those represented the possibility of problems. I remember an old saying, and I know you have, some of you do, some of you never heard this before, but most of you have. There's more than one way to break an egg-sucking dog. Heard that saying? There's plenty of ways. After a while, somebody, if they keep doing what they're not supposed to be doing, and they keep on with it, their chops are going to get broken. Someone's going to bust them in the head. Maybe not figuratively, but some way. But you just can't go on. And you know what? But God's word says that's a fool. He said, a person like that's a fool. So four things he talks about concerning foolishness. He said, the foundation's irresponsibility, the nature is transparent, the convictions are shallow, and the will is unbroken. The Bible talks about in the book of, one of the key things he talks about in Proverbs is wisdom. And if you want to do what God wants you to do, study wisdom. What does the Bible say about wisdom? Look at Ecclesiastes. Look at Proverbs and see what it says about wisdom and living wisely. And then look at what they say about being foolish. And then say, God, help me to recognize what foolishness is and help me not to be foolish. All right, let's pray. Now, Father, I pray that you'll teach us from the word of the Lord and help us to understand foolishness and how we need to avoid foolishness. We pray that you will help us to take your word and to let your word guide us and direct us. We need your word. And help us be taught by your word and be guided by your word. Help us to not walk like fools. But help us to walk in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and walk like wise men and women. As we study the word of the Lord. Speak to our hearts, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number?
Number
308,
only 12. Seated, Brother Bill, if you'll come up and receive the offering for Wednesday night, you're able to give. Yeah, I figure you're pretty close. Not too far for you to walk. All right, you pray for us, brother. It was interesting last Wednesday night for different reasons. You know, unfortunately, we had one of the smallest Wednesday night prayer meetings we had. Johnny and I were the only men here. We were outnumbered totally. And I tried to, you know, and then he bailed on me. He said that when he's outnumbered, he just kind of jumps in, you know, and just goes with the other side. So I was kind of standing alone there a little bit. But anyway, he took the offering up, and I noticed when he got done, he got a pretty good offering, so I'm not sure. We might have to just add him to the usher list because it was a low crowd, but we got a pretty good offering that night, so I thought that was kind of interesting. I think it must have been. I'm telling you. I know it wasn't mine, that's for sure. All right, Lord bless you. Have a good week.